Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast, episode number 52 for Thursday, June 13th, 2013. My name is Park Hopper John, and I come to you from the www.parkhoppers.com website. I am joined, as always, by the venerably awesome Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
And the incredibly talented, most incredible, awesome, incredible Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com.
Hello.
We have a great show for you today. Tim Krasnewski from the DVCNews.com website is joining us today. So no more waiting, we want to go ahead and get right into that interview. Take it away, Tony.
So we'd like to welcome this week's guest, Tim Krasnewski. Close enough? No?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's what my mom told me.
From DVC News, he's come on the show again to talk about some new DVC news that's going on. If you're from the planet Earth, they are building new DVC villas at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. And we thought we'd have Tim on and talk about some of the great features of this resort. So, really, the first question, I was asking myself when I heard this news was, what's going to make this different from, Bay Lake Tower, from, Saratoga Springs, from, all the other DVCs? Are there any features or amenities, Tim, here that they're, putting into place that we haven't seen anywhere else?
Well, now that we've got a look at the rooms, I think it's pretty clear that they've stepped it up a bit in terms of the interior look and amenities to the facilities. They got the tray ceilings and intricate tile showers and a lot of things that haven't been seen before in the vacation club resorts. But I think most people would say that the Grand Floridian is a worthy property and a place where guests would expect to find those sorts of features in a room where you'd normally pay $800 a night or whatever the rates happen to be.
Yeah. Yeah. One feature, I guess, in the room that I saw in the preview thing that I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, was TVs behind the bathroom mirrors.
Right, right. They have those at, I believe I'm right in saying this, I think that at the Grand Californian Disney Vacation Club property, there are two grand villas, three-bedroom grand villas that sleep 12 or 13 people. And I think they have that feature there, but that's the only place it's ever been before. And here, it comes in every bathroom. So even in a, 350-square-foot studio villa, you've got that little TV in the bathroom mirror. So that's something to throw on YouTube and show your relatives, I guess, if you stay there.
I don't know. I guess I'm not in front of the mirror that often that I need a TV.
if you need to do your park planning while you're getting dressed in the morning.
Yeah, or to watch Stacy, tell me,
Stacy, there you go.
The 10 exactly. Must-dos for the day, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, but the other feature, too, in the studios that I did like, and happens to be in the bathroom again, is that they split the shower. It is actually two showers.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So two people can shower simultaneously.
Right. They've got the standard, tub and shower combo, with the commode in that room. And then you've got the vanity sink in another section, kind of like you'd find in a traditional hotel room. But then there's a separate shower room, with a stand up, I don't know if you'd call it a rain shower, but it's kind of got the shower head up in the ceiling there, and I think there's a second one mounted on the wall. But yeah, I mean it's a second shower, so right, you could have two people get ready in the morning at the same time.
Yeah, that was an interesting feature. Have you you've seen pictures obviously of the villas? They're calling it a Victorian theming, I guess. Would you I don't know if I agree with that, or not. I don't know. Maybe contemporary Victorian theming?
Well, you're probably asking the wrong person for that. I mean, from the exterior, the building is going to blend in with, the rest of the Grand Floridian.
Wow. Yeah.
Interior, they've got some of the, you'll hear people make sort of the grandma's living room comments. Mm. You know, they've got the kind of flowery wallpaper, right, and the what do you call them, like the silhouettes, the old time silhouette, yeah, pictures of Mickey and Minnie Mouse hanging on the wall. So I think it's got a little bit of those touches, but it's you know, if it is Victorian, it's 21st century Victorian, yeah, because they've got the I can't name brand names, but you know, high quality appliances and, yeah, and you know, pretty much everything in the room appears to be top notch. So
yeah, talking about the appliances, the refrigerators are, you know, the flat panels, and then they have a freezer drawer and a drink drawer.
Okay.
As well as a, you know, a regular refrigerator on top of that. So they really went, you know, top notch with, you know, some of the appliances.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the other thing that I heard that they were doing different here is that you can, rather than buying points, you can buy a specific week.
Yes.
Wow.
That is so correct.
Do we know how that's going to work?
It's tied into the old timeshare weeks concept. You know, going back 20 years ago, buying a specific week at a timeshare was a more popular approach. Developers would build a room, and basically for every room that they built, they'd sell 50 or 51 weeks, and you know, hold back a week or two per year to do renovations and all that sort of thing. But everybody would have their set arrival and departure days.
Yeah,
and you know, more and more timeshare programs have gone to the points concept, which is your ownership is expressed in terms of a number of points, and you can book different room sizes and different dates and different you know, it doesn't have to be a 7-day trip. You can book 2 nights, 5 nights, 7 nights, 14 nights, whatever you want. But, you know, points becomes the commodity instead of just a week.
Yeah.
But what Disney Vacation Club did, they actually introduced this about 3 years ago with the Aulani property in Hawaii, is they're giving you the option to purchase a week if you want. Yeah. And it's stated up front that no more than 35% of any villa, and that's every aspect of the villa, so 35% of, you know, a week one studio with a lake view, they aren't going to sell any more than 35% of that as a fixed week.
Yeah.
So it's not a case where, you know, they could sell out every room for Christmas week as a fixed week, leaving the points owners with whatever's left over. You know, it's capped at 35% of each individual unit that's possible and date and all that. Yeah. So, but okay, obviously certain weeks will be more popular than others. So.
Yeah. Well, probably during the summer too. Now, do they have to pick a specific type of room, like a studio or one bedroom, when they pick their week?
Yes, you pick the week. Mm-hmm. You know, weeks on the timeshare calendar are numbered 1 to 52, and there's a week 53, but they aren't selling week 53.
Right.
So you pick a week, you pick a villa size, mm-hmm, and you pick a view as well. The resort has what's called a standard view,
right,
which appears to be rooms that would look towards the, there's going to be some kind of facing the monorail track,
yeah,
and then some that sort of face to the north. They'll look at like the other Grand Floridian buildings that are there.
Right.
And then there's a lake view, which will actually look mostly kind of in the direction of the Polynesian.
Yeah.
So you pick the room size, the view, and the week. And at its most simplistic terms, basically what they're doing is if you buy a guaranteed week, you have to buy 10% more points than you would buy to book that week on points.
Okay, so that was my fault.
There's a cost associated with it. The good part to it is the you know, for somebody that's considering that, is you can opt out of the week anytime that you want, and you get the exact number of points that you purchased. So that when you opt out, there's absolutely no loss on your part. If you keep the week, it's booked, you know, from day one. You never have to get on the web and make a reservation or pick up the phone. Your week is locked in.
Yeah, well.
But all the way up until 31 days prior to your arrival for that week, you can cancel it and you get the points and you can spend them however you want under the normal program terms, you know, 7 months in advance at non-home resorts and 11 months at the Grand Floridian. So,
yeah, I guess that's, you know, if you're, you know, very much, I guess, you know, set in your ways, you know, I only can get this week off and I'm only ever going with this amount of people, you know, maybe that works, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, being that they're picking a week, how does that work for them if they want to, you know, not go to the Grand Floridian this year, but they want to go stay over at Bay Lake Tower? Do they get to swap their points like we do? Like a normal point?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about with regard to the opt-out. You know, they can contact Disney Vacation Club and just say, I'm not going to use my week this year.
Okay.
You know, let's say somebody purchased, I think the lowest cost guaranteed week, I'm doing this off the top of my head, I think it's about 138 points in a standard view studio for the lowest season, you know, one of the cheapest weeks. Yeah. So if you don't want to keep your specific week, you would call, say, I want to opt out. They cancel that reservation, and you get the 138 points to use however you wish.
Krista and John, what would you guys do? Would you guys go points, or would you go with a set week?
I don't know. I'd probably go with the week.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would go points. I would never want to be locked down like that. Yeah. Too many things happen in my life for me to.
You know? Yeah, so the points would give you more flexibility.
Yeah. I need flexibility.
Yeah,
I mean, ultimately, you can go either way because you can opt out. Right. But when you go the guaranteed week route, again, you're paying. They're requiring that you buy 10% more points than you would need to book that.
Yeah.
Just as a standard points owner, so you know you're paying a little bit more money up front to acquire the points, and then you're paying annual dues on it each year too. So you know there is a cost associated with buying that guaranteed week.
Are they adding any new restaurants or lounges in the new building?
I'm not aware of any specific amenities being added. I know there aren't any restaurants. I'm sure there will be, you know, like a seating area or you know, a casual lounge or something in the building. I don't believe there's a front desk there. I think all the, you know, check-ins are going to be handled at the main resort. Mm-hmm. You know, they've done some enhancements to the pool area at the Grand Floridian, but you know, guests are just going to be sharing that. There's no separate pool facilities.
Yeah, do we know if they're putting in like a community room?
No. Yeah. No, they are not.
Yeah. That's interesting. Interesting. You know, the way they positioned the building, I was kind of taken aback because I thought they would have turned it more sideways, so more rooms would have had a view of, you know, possibly the castle or at least the water. And that the way they have it on that end is like, that's very strange.
Well, and if you look at the sight lines there, you really can't see the castle from anywhere on the resort.
Yeah.
Because the existing Grand Floridian buildings block that view. That sort of end cap,
right,
that most directly faces the Magic Kingdom is actually this villa addition has 6 3-bedroom grand villas in it, and that's what is on that end cap.
Oh, wow.
So it's 6 stories tall, and you've got those 6 rooms stacked right there.
Wow.
So unless you're booking a grand villa, you're really not going to get any view of the Magic Kingdom at all.
You will never see wishes from your balcony.
Yeah, unless it's the very top explosions over the rest of the building.
Yeah. Hey, do we know what the maintenance fees are going to start at for this?
It is $5.41 per point.
That's not too bad, right?
Well,
they always start low because it's new.
Yeah. In theory, that shouldn't happen because they actually start collecting dollars for a reserve fund right from day one. So, you know, the first year you're paying dues, you're actually paying for a roof replacement and room renovations that won't happen for 10 or 15 years. So they do try to budget that out, but it's quite a bit more than Bay Lake Tower, which I think a lot of people expected it to be comparable there. But I think that's reflective of, you know, some of those additional amenities we talked about, you know, the appliances and the, you know, TVs and the mirrors and those sorts of things. You know, they've got wood floors in most of the rooms.
Wow, that's different.
So, you know, those are things that are going to have to be maintained and you know, replaced as they break. And that's all got a cost associated with it. So.
Yeah. And they have a cute little place to stash your kids. That little fold-down bed from the TV.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned the shower in the studio villas, and,
right.
And these studio villas are actually the first that will sleep five people.
Yeah.
Most Disney Vacation Club studio rooms have a queen-size bed and a full-size sofa bed.
Mm-hmm.
These have the queen bed, the full-size sofa bed, and the TV armoire base, yeah, folds down into a Murphy bed.
Yeah.
So, you know, a family of five, two adults and three young kids could stay in a studio, which is pretty economical in comparison to having to move up to a one-bedroom.
Yeah. And what I said to the my preview guide was, I said, you know, the only thing you're missing from that fold-down bed is to put a TV up on the inside of that so that when you're laying in bed, you can watch TV too.
Yeah, there you go. Or on the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere. So that's the only person that can't watch TV from bed. And he's in the TV bed. You know.
Well, Tim, since you kind of have your finger on the pulse of the Disney Vacation Club community, what's been the overall feeling from other members or other people who really keep a track of this? How is this new building being received?
Most people seem pretty excited about it. You know, I think in terms of the, you know, again, the quality of materials and the design of the room, it seemed to exceed everybody's expectations. I know that the price caught a lot of people off guard in a pleasant way. You know, again, the closest comparison is typically Bay Lake Tower, you know, which is right around the monorail from the Grand Floridian. And that resort for the past, you know, 6 months or so has been selling for $165 per point. So I think most people assumed that this one would come in, you know, equal or greater than that. And the debut price actually ended up being $145 per point. So, you know, that factor alone caused a lot of people to really, you know, look at it more carefully than they thought they would. And, you know, consider if it's someplace that they want to purchase.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, there are certainly people who say, I own enough points, I'm not really interested. You know, me, myself, I think it's a fabulous looking resort, but I'm not really interested in making another purchase right now. But other than, you know, my personal decision to not spend $10,000 or $15,000, I really don't have anything negative to say about it.
Yeah. I'm holding out now for the Poly.
Sure. Yeah.
I think if I were to buy more points, it would be at the Polynesian.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one holding out for that.
Yeah, well, we'll see if it happens. You know, this is underway. I have a feeling this will sell pretty well, pretty quickly. And you know, maybe we will get the Poly in the next couple of years.
Sure.
You know.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, I mean, this resort, I don't think we really talked about the size, but this is going to be it's the smallest Disney Vacation Club resort at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
You know, in the entire program, I believe it's second only to the Grand Californian, which is really small. The Grand Floridian has 47, what they call dedicated two-bedroom villas, and then another 47... what they call lock-off two-bedroom villas, which can be booked separately as a one-bedroom plus a studio.
Right.
And then you've got the six grand villas. So really, there's only about 100 rooms.
Yeah, wow.
If you count those lock-off separately, it could be up to 147, if my math is right.
Yeah.
But that makes it the smallest at Walt Disney World. The Wilderness Lodge are a little bit bigger than that, and Beach Club is another small one, and that's about twice as big. You know, this is This is almost a third of the size of Bay Lake Tower. So the point I'm kind of leading up to here is it's not going to be a resort that they're going to be selling for 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this thing could be sold out in 1.5 to 2 years. I have a feeling Disney Vacation Club is going to stretch that out via price. You know, if things start selling a little faster than they anticipated, I think we're going to see prices rise pretty quickly. You know, they're not going to give this one away. But anyway, I guess what I was getting up to is, you know, it takes 1.5 to 2.5 years to build a new resort. So if you're looking at 1.5 to 2 years to sell this one, by the time they're done with this, they're going to have to start on something else if they want to have, you know, another location waiting in the wings. So I don't think it'll be too long before we start seeing movement somewhere. There's a lot of rumors pointing towards the Polynesian right now.
Right.
And they've had other ones out there. About 3 years ago, there were some plans filed for what appeared to be a Disney Vacation Club project at the Fort Wilderness near the grounds. And that one kind of, nothing really came of that, but that's something that could always happen, and there's some other locations that they've looked at. So
there was a couple of days that I did see surveyors over by, you know, old River Country, and I was like, what all those surveyor guys are doing out there?
Sure.
I mean, River Country's been, you know, closed for a long time, and to see, you know, any activity of any sort over there, you're like, ooh, what are they going to build over there?
It does not go unnoticed.
It doesn't. You know, especially when you're driving past and you're seeing guys, you know, with measuring stuff and, you know, putting stakes in the ground. You're like, what the hell's going on?
Sure.
Yeah. So what's the, you know, a lot of the, when you buy a DVC resort, it's good for a certain amount of time, 40 years, 50 years. What's the time on these, Tim?
It's 50 years.
Oh, it is 50.
Yeah. It expires in 2064.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. You hope that you're alive for the entire 50 years.
Sure.
You know, so that'd be good. Are there any current specials for, like, current DVC members? Like, I'm a member. Is there anything special that I can get right now that the rest of the public can't?
Well, right now they're only selling this resort to existing members, and the price is $145 per point. And that is good, reportedly, until June 19th. On June 19th is when they have stated that they're going to open up sales to new buyers, new members, and the price is going to rise to $150 per point. So people who aren't currently Disney Vacation Club members can't even get that $145 price. It's going to be $150 per point for them from day one. And, you know, we can only speculate as to how quickly it's going to rise from there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad to hear that my Bay Lake Tower is selling for $165 since I didn't buy it at that.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
I'm glad my investment's going up in money. And, you know, I know everybody gives me a lot of heat for, you know, saying that, but, hey, you know, it's an investment. It's real estate, you know. I pay property tax. I pay maintenance fees.
Right.
You know, it's a property investment, you know.
Yeah.
And Tim, for the people that don't know, can you tell us about your website, dvcnews.com?
Sure. It's, you know, the point is to, with apologies to Deb Wills, I usually end up falling back on this comparison and saying that it's the allears.net of the Disney Vacation Club world. You know, I've got, you know, most of it is tracking the latest information. You know, if you go to the front page, you'll see the latest stories. I usually try to dig up, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 things to post every week. And there's usually something going on to keep me busy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you'll also find detailed information on every resort, you know, everything from resort maps to photos of nooks and crannies to lists of items and amenities are stored in each guest room. So, you know, if you're a Disney Vacation Club member, it's a great resource to keep on top of what's happening. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in becoming a member, you know, there's information on, you know, not only the resorts themselves, but how the program works and what prices are and, you know, the difference between buying direct from Disney and buying through a reseller, you know, the point charts, which determine what it costs to stay per night. So,
wow, that's a lot of great information.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say your site is like the Wikipedia of DVC information.
There you go. Okay.
This way you don't have to call up Deb. Although she does have a great site. Yeah, I use your site. I go there first before I go to the DVC site. I have to say they have cleaned up their website a lot, so it is getting...
They have, but they still tend to be a little filtered and corporate. Yeah. So. They're not going to tell you necessarily all the grungy details. Well, I don't want to use the word grungy. That sounds too negative.
Non-filtered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You get the sense that anything that makes it to the member website has passed through, you know, four different attorneys' desks and, you know, a couple passes by the PR department. And,
But, you know, the one feature I do like on your website is the room finder. I think... That is one of my favorite features. So
yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, I have two little Facebook groups. One is for Bay Lake Tower, and now I just started one for the villas here at Grand Floridian. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, where is room, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, go to DVC News, go to the room finder, and, you know, he'll point you to the right room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you keep all that data, but it's fantastic stuff.
A lot of help. Well... A lot of it was information gathering, but a lot of it is help from readers too. You know, sending in photos that, for people who don't know, since you threw out the word room finder, it's basically I have several databases set up for almost every DVC resort that archives all of the rooms by number, and you know what floor it's on, what the view is, you know the size of the room, obviously whether it's a studio or one bedroom, two bedroom, whatever. So, you know, if you have a reservation for Bay Lake Tower, Lakeview, two-bedroom, you can go to the site and find the room finder and plug in that criteria, and it'll give you a list of all the room numbers. And you can see comments that other people have left after staying in the room. A lot of people have sent us photos of the view from the balcony. So it can really help you get a feel for the resort and, you know, see where some of those good areas might be. It's... You know, it's not necessarily something where you want to go to DVC and say, I want room 5678. But, you know, it'll help you perhaps choose some criteria that you might want to use. So.
Do you have a favorite DVC resort?
A favorite?
Yeah. One that you go to? Which one?
I think you asked me this before because my favorite... I remember surprising a friend of mine with my answer. My favorite is the Grand Californian. Mm. Before they started, well, really just as Disney started building the villas out there, a friend of mine invited us out there and put us up for a few nights in a regular hotel room, and it was our first trip to Disneyland and first stay at that resort, and it's just a fabulous resort. And really, personally, I think I can see a lot of things in the Grand Floridian that sort of evoke the Grand Californian.
Yeah.
You know, it's, again, you know, just the high-quality building materials and that. Not that, you know, other Disney Vacation Club resorts aren't wonderful, too, but, you know, let's face it, you can tell the difference when you walk to some locations that you like some better than others. So.
Yeah, I agree. I'm staying there for the first time in August for the expo, so...
Okay, good.
So I'll let you know how exciting it was. Last time I stayed at the Disneyland Resort, because the California was all booked up, so.
Okay.
All right, you ready for the rapid fire? All right, let's start with favorite park.
Disney California Adventure.
Interesting. Favorite character?
Favorite character. Gotta go with Mickey.
Favorite restaurant?
I'm not a foodie, so I'm kind of scuffling here. Favorite restaurant?
Ohana?
Disneyland, Steakhouse 55 at the Disneyland Hotel is really good.
Oh, yeah. That is very good. I agree. Favorite attraction?
Rock and Roller Coaster.
Favorite resort, which we just said.
Yeah.
Favorite Disney snack? Since you're not a foodie, this will be tough.
I don't typically eat a whole one, but I'll take a bite of my wife's Mickey ice cream bar every trip.
Oh, that's good. Your first time at a Disney park?
1976-ish.
Okay.
77, maybe.
So that'd be like Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, Magic Kingdom.
Do you know who was on your first trip?
My mother and some family friends.
Okay.
We escaped the cold in the north when there was like a natural gas shortage or something like that, and schools closed down, and
wow,
we all drove down to Florida.
Wow, that sounds a good way to escape.
I can't honestly say I remember a whole lot of it.
All right, how far you live from Disney now?
1,100 miles.
I love that everybody knows that.
Yeah, I've driven it a few times. So.
Yeah, that's the reason everybody knows it, I think.
Yeah.
And when's your next trip to Disney?
I'm going to Disneyland in August.
Excellent. All right, so if you want to know more about Tim and his website, you have to follow him at dvcnews.com. It really is the Wikipedia. I'm calling it now the Wikipedia of Disney, DVC.
I might have to steal that. I like that.
Yeah, the DVC News Wikipedia Information Guide.
There you go.
He's also on Facebook, and you can find him at facebook.com/DVC News or on Twitter at DVC News. Hey, Tim, I have to always thank you for coming on and telling us all this great stuff. You are the info man.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Thanks and when we know about the Polynesian, we'll have to have you back on.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Tim, for sharing your time and knowledge with us today. We look forward to the future and seeing more from you at dvcnews.com and hopefully back here on the podcast. To all of our Disney friends out there as well who are listening, thank you so much for joining us today. We are thrilled to spend the time with you, and as always, we will meet you right back here next Tuesday on the weekly news and rumor show from all around the Disney parks. Have a magical day, and we'll see you in the parks. Call the Disney Parks Podcast at 407-476-8898 to leave a message 24 hours a day. You can also email us questions and comments at thecrew@disneyparkpodcast.com. And you can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/DisneyPK Podcast. Follow us on Twitter for all you Twitter lovers at DisneyPK Podcast. Help us out by subscribing to us on iTunes. Rate us, review us, leave us a little note, and we will respond to you there as well. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio On Demand. Visit us at Disney Parks Podcast, where you can find all of our shows, our show notes, and leave us a comment. Join us next Tuesday for more news, rumors from all around the Disney parks, and we'll see you in the parks. I am Tony Casanova from Disney by the Numbers, and I ask that you stop by DisneyByTheNumbers.com, where you can read our news, our blog, see videos, sign up for our newsletter, and check out our photos and all the other good stuff that we have at DisneyByTheNumbers.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DBTN page. I know that's a little hard, but you can follow us there. You can follow us on Twitter at DBTN. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Disney by the Numbers. You can sign up for our newsletter at DisneyByTheNumbers.com or go out to iTunes and search for WDW DBTN Facts. And you can go out to iTunes and get our iPhone app, which you can use on your iPhone, iPad, and iPod. Check out WDW DBTN Facts on iTunes.
Well, I'm Park Hopper John, and I come to you from the www.parkhoppers.com website. You can find us on the internet at www.wdwparkhoppers.com. You can find us all across the social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, at WDW Park Hoppers. Please sign up for our newsletter. We have a lot of great information, a lot of fun stuff that we're putting in there. And you can always sign up to get our blog post articles sent directly to your email for absolutely free. We also encourage you to go out to teamparkhoppers.com and Team Park Hoppers on Facebook. Help us to raise money while we're running and having a great time at all these great Run Disney events.
Hi, this is Krista from DisneyWays.com, where our mission includes bringing you exciting Disney news and information that's also sprinkled with Disney Ways treasures you won't find anywhere else. We want to help answer your Disney-related questions. We do post every single day, so we hope you subscribe to our updates by email. We do have monthly prizes for our subscribers, so you're automatically entered just for subscribing, and you'll be kept up to date for with our coming events and all the things we have going on at Disney Ways. We can also be found at Twitter at Disney Ways, and we do have a YouTube channel that's a work in progress, but we'd love to have you there too. So check us out on the web.